this morning with some brothers. It's their first time here. They came for the Exalting Christ Conference. And, well, my family's with me, Gabby, Gabo, and Michi. They're here with me. Our oldest son, he got married last year, so he's not here. I think I told you this last year. He's not able to travel to the States. So it seems that he's got some years left that he's not going to be able to come. But Lord willing, when he comes back, he'll be able to come back with his wife. And we are as well with some members of our congregation. Victor, that you know, he's been here before. And Danny, my brother, is there in the back. And it's their first time for Giovanni and Michael. Members of La Roca, meet your blood brothers and sisters, because we are blood brothers and sisters, because of Christ. It's one blood that unites us. So what a joy to be here with family, and Kathleen, and Lance, and Landy as well, they're here. So and we're family. So yeah, and we're praying for them to move to Honduras. Who knows? One day. So let's go to Psalm 13. It's a psalm we're going to be studying this morning, and we pray that the Lord will speak to our hearts as we dwell on it. Psalm 13 for the choir director, a psalm of David. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all day? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my adversaries will rejoice when I am shaken. But I have trusted in your loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. And I will sing to the Lord, because he has dealt bountifully with me. Father, we come to you as needy creatures. And we come to you as your children as well. Knowing that we need you, we need your spirit to enlighten our eyes, Lord. We need your spirit to teach us this morning through your word. We want you to speak to our hearts, Lord, knowing that we're in this fallen world, in this world that is against us, Lord. It's a broken world filled with broken people. So we ask, Lord, please restore our hearts. And we seek Christ this morning, and as we have been singing, may he satisfy our souls for your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. One of the ministries we do in Honduras is that we take food. We go and visit the public hospital. Public hospitals, I'd imagine here, you could have some of those problems, maybe. But in our country, public hospitals are really bad. You go there and you'd have to wait to get some medical assistance. And if you are there and you get to see a doctor, there are many times that they don't have the medication for you. So when you go to the hospital and you're there as a patient, one of the things you learn is to wait. And sometimes waiting is not easy. So we go there every week and we take food because people come from all over the country to that hospital. And we would take food. We would even take toilet paper, which for them is a treasure. They would treasure even toilet paper. So we feed them. We try to see what the needs are, but we bring the gospel. That's the main reason why we're there, bringing the gospel, bringing the real hope. That's not in getting a physical healing, but the heart. We're aiming at the heart. And sometimes when we go through trials, we need to focus again. The Lord is doing something in our hearts. And you could see people there that are spending their nights and days there at the hospital, a week, 2 weeks, a month, 2 months. We've met people for 6 months, and they don't sleep in the hospital. They actually sleep in the sidewalks, outside the hospital. So when it's raining, they all get wet. When it's sunny, they all get sunburned. So it's a very heartbreaking scene when you go and see with your eyes, you know, the pain that people are going through. And you know what? One of the things that we see very often is parents lamenting for the loss of their children. There are times that I'm preaching there, and you would see the doctors come out and say, "Well, I'm sorry, but your baby just passed away." And you see their laments, their cry. And we all know, in our daily experience, we all know what a lament is. We all know in this world, we will find trials, tribulations. We all have experienced that. Maybe you are going through a tribulation today. Or you have just come out of a trial, or just wait and see. You'll get in a trial pretty soon. That's our life. Our life is filled with trials, tribulations, with lament. You don't have to teach a newborn how to cry. It's part of their experience. It's part of our experience. So yes. This is a lament song. And you know, God speaks to us through his word, right? But it seems that the book of Psalms just brings those emotions that we all face. And it seems like this ancient hymn book now is speaking through us. So this is a lament song. And when you see lament songs, they are easy to identify. There are some elements that are common in every lament song. You can see an address of God. The psalmist would have a complaint. The psalmist would have a request. And then in the lament songs, you would see an expression of trust and praise. You know, the book of Psalms, one out of every three psalms is a lament psalm. So it seems that lament is part of our experience. We see the joys in the psalm. Joy, of course. But we also see sorrows. Individual sorrows. Individual laments. Or lamenting as a community as well. So it's the largest category in the entire Psalter. And this is why we didn't listen to this psalm today. Because just as I told you, we are actually going through a trial. Or we have just come out of the trial. Or we will face a trial pretty soon. And we didn't know how to wait on the Lord. Because we tend, as we go through trials, we tend to be impatient. as we go through troubles, we tend to be impatient. And impatience, as you go through trials and troubles, impatience will get us in trouble. If not, ask Sarah and Abraham. They got in trouble because they were impatient. Or you can ask Saul. He got in trouble because he was impatient. He couldn't wait for Samuel. And then he lost everything. And I just want you to remember, God is never late. Never. But he doesn't work in our timetable. He has his timetable. So let's see this psalm and let's learn how to wait well. And when you see how this psalm starts, we actually do not have, we do not know the circumstances that David was going through. But if you read some other psalms like Psalm 52, Psalm 54, 56, 57, 59, there are words in those other psalms that are very common to this psalm. And those other psalms that I just mentioned would describe the time that David was running from Saul. And when we study scripture, we know that David was anointed by Samuel, but then he had to flee from Saul. And he spent 13 years after being anointed. 13 years after he be so he could become a king after being anointed. He was running away from Saul. So maybe that could be the background for this psalm, whether it's him running from Saul, him running from Absalom, or whatever other trial he was going through. We see that the first part of the psalm, which is six verses, first part will tell us how desperate he was. And this is the thing: when you go through trials, we tend not to admit we're frustrated. But this is what we need to do. Admit your frustration. Admit you're in pain. Do not deny it. Do not pretend nothing is happening. We go through trials and tribulations, so let's admit it. This is a fallen world. We need to know how to lament. We need to know, learn how to express what we have inside. So this is the first thing we need to do. Admit to God your pain. Let's read the first two verses. It says, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day? How long will my enemy be exalted over me?" You can hear that frustration. He was saying, "Adana, Adana, Adana, Yahweh, Adana, I have been there. I have been there. There has been in my life dark seasons. Dark seasons that have made me say, how long?" You know, and you hear this frustration as you can have, if your trial is big, but if it lasts just a few days, you know, you can handle it. But you can have a small trial or a medium-sized trial. But if it lasts long, then you tend to be discouraged. Have you felt like this? When someone close to you maybe has betrayed you or is doing something against you, or maybe someone has left you and you feel abandoned, that is heartbreaking. But see what David is saying? How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? Will you forget me forever? Wow. This is King David. And he was feeling abandoned by God. He was feeling like if God was not there for him. One thing, in our country, you see how many fathers abandon their children, their families. And then you need to shepherd their hearts, these children's hearts. My wife, she was abandoned by her dad. And you can see the pain. You can see the pain in them. One thing is being abandoned by your dad or your mom or whoever. Another thing is feel that you were abandoned by God. So you see this repetition. How long? How long? How long? So it seems that this, again, I told you, David had to run from Saul for 13 years. 13 years. How long? How long will you forget me forever? But David, you know that cannot happen. Let's go to Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49. It's a very well known passage. Verse 15 and 16. It says, can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even if this may forget, but I will not forget you. Behold, I have inscribed you in the palm of my hands. It's like we're tattooed to his hands. Your walls are continually before me. David felt. See, this is what's happening. He was looking inside of him. So he felt God had abandoned him. And not only that, because if you go back to the psalm, he says, Lord, how long will you forget me forever? Or how long will you hide your face from me? Hide your face from me. So he felt like if God had abandoned him, he felt like God didn't want to bless him. Didn't want to bless him. He's not answering me. He's hiding his face from me. I haven't been blessed. You know, I do not feel blessed. When the Lord would shine his face on someone, I mean, he was blessing that person. So if he would hide his face from someone, he was not blessing that person. Could be that we think, Lord, I do not feel blessed in my physical life, in my finances. I used to be running the race faster. But now what's happening to me, I do not feel blessed. There's something in my spiritual life that's not going well. It seems I do not have joy. I do not have joy. I do not feel blessed. How long, O Lord? I don't want to go to Scripture. I don't want to pray. You know, I was with some missionaries some month ago, and I was talking to these missionaries. And I know they're out there in the field, in a closed country. You cannot preach the gospel. You cannot gather as we're gathering today. And I was talking to one of them. And I know he was going through certain trials in his life, and I just wanted to to talk to him and shepherd his heart. And I asked him, how are you doing? And he started crying. And then I immediately knew, wow, this is not a recent thing. This is something that has been going on for a while, his trial. And he said, brother, there are times that I don't want to read the Bible. I don't want to talk to God. And he's out there in the field. He's going through trials that we do not have any clue, an idea of what he's going through. But he was admitting that he was frustrated. He was frustrated. I'm frustrated. How long? How long will you hide your face from me? So David felt the Lord had forgotten him. The Lord was not blessing him. He was hiding from him. Forgotten. Abandoned. And he was discouraged. See verse 2. How long shall I take counsel in my soul? David was discouraged. He was really discouraged. He didn't see any hope. How long shall I take counsel in my soul? Do you see his condition? He's going down, 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 lower, lower, lower. That's how he felt. He felt forgotten. He felt abandoned. He felt discouraged. How long? You know, the way we see God will affect the way we feel. That's how he saw God. That's how he felt. Felt forgotten, abandoned, discouraged. I have to counsel my own soul every day because God is not there to counsel my soul. So now I have to counsel my soul. And he felt defeated. See, at the end of verse 2, how long will my enemy be exalted over me? Exalted, exalted over me. He felt defeated. Wow, wow. David, he felt defeated. We just saw the Olympics, right? The Olympics just ended. And you would see those who were, you know, at the top, and they won the gold medal. And then you would see those others that were defeated. And David felt, he's always winning the gold medal. And I'm defeated. I'm defeated. So who was David's enemy? Could have been Saul. Could have been Absalom. Whoever it was, he felt defeated by his enemy. We all have this same problem in our lives. I'm not saying you have an enemy, like somebody else is doing something against you. Could be. Or not. But we all do have a common enemy, which is Satan. And it seems like, whoa, that roaring lion has been devouring me for a long time. He's admitting his frustration to God. He's admitting that his life is filled with pain. That's a reality we will face. See Psalm 77. Let's go to Psalm 77. I mean, there again, just lament Psalms. Psalm 77. See verse. Now this is not David. This is a psalm of Asaph. And see what he says in verse 7. Will the Lord reject forever? Will he never be favorable again? Verse 8, has his loving kindness ceased forever? Has his promise come to an end forever? Verse 9, has he forgotten to be gracious? Or has he in anger withdrawn his compassion? Wow. Lament. Lament. And we need to know how to wait well on the Lord. Do not let impatience be your daily bread. We will go through trials. But I told you, we're learning from David. He was frustrated. He was admitting his frustration. But he did not stay there. Because now, it's just 6 verses. Now, as we go back to Psalm 13, we're going to see that there's something happening. Because he did not stay in his frustration. He was not only admitting his frustration, but now he wanted to approach God in prayer. See what verse 3 and 4 says. Consider and answer me. So why should he pray? I mean, he felt abandoned. He felt discouraged. He felt there was no hope. He felt God was giving him the silent treatment. But he knew where to go. So he approached God in prayer. And he says, consider me. Answer me. This is just a reminder in Job 13, verse 15. It says, though he slay me. This is Job. And if we read the book of Job, it was not a week. It was not 2 weeks. We don't know how much he stayed in his condition, but we can see it was months. And Job said, though he slay me, I will hope in him. Wow. When we feel distant from God is when we should pray even more. We should not let aside prayer. You know, sometimes as we do counseling, sometimes people would say, oh, Pastor, the only thing I have left is prayer. What are you talking? That should have been the first thing you should have done. The only thing left to do is prayer. What? Come on. This is where we need to go. Remember how David felt. He was living by what he was feeling. And David says now, as he's approaching God in prayer, consider. Consider. He said, consider me. Look at me. It's like our children, right? We tell our children, when I talk to you, you listen to me. You see me. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. No, look at me. That is what I do with my children. No. You look at me. But there were times, you know, that I was all over doing things. And then my children would come to me, hey, dad. I remember one of my kids, you know, would say one day, dad, he jumped over me and said, dad, look at me. That's what David is doing. Saying, Lord, look at me. Consider me and answer me. Oh Lord, my God, Yahweh, my God, enlighten my eyes or I will sleep the sleep of death. Enlighten my eyes. Give me back the physical and spiritual life. Please enlighten my eyes. And it's interesting when you go to 1 Samuel chapter 14 verse 27 You remember how Jonathan, you know, ate honey, remember? And then his eyes were enlightened. There was a physical element there. And I believe there's a physical element here as well. David was feeling spiritually down, and that took a toll on his physical life. And we know that in counseling, right? We know that in counseling. You know, we are going through a physical problem, and that it affects sometimes our physical life. Or the other way around. We're going through a trial, a spiritual trial, and it affects our physical life as well. So David is saying here, please enlighten my eyes. That's why prayer and even worship are easier when we are physically doing good. And it's harder when we're physically ill. Prayer, you know, and worship, you know, it's harder. It's harder. David was admitting his frustration. He felt that God had forgotten him, abandoned him. He was discouraged, but now he is asking. He's coming to God. He's approaching God in prayer, and he's asking him, please enlighten my eyes. Enlighten my eyes. David knew something. David knew where to go. And David knew there was a problem in him. The way he was seeing God was affecting his heart. The way he was seeing God. You know, my dad, he owned a... you guys don't have this here, because you have your trucks. Your trucks are big trucks. Down in our countries, you know, trucks are smaller. So my dad owned a Nissan pickup truck. It was an old truck. 1982 truck. But it was you know, a faithful truck. We went everywhere in that truck. And since it was that old, the only problem was that it didn't have AC. So I remember I was traveling with my family, and as we were going through it was like probably an 8-hour drive. So we went through this place that's rain. It rains all the time there. So it started raining. I think it was around probably 6:30, which it's for us. It's getting dark. 6:30, and it was raining. It was raining hard. And then I was really scared because I saw this fog, and it's just like the fog you get in San Francisco, right? And I couldn't see. And I was thinking, whoa! I mean, I'm gonna get in a car crash here, or I could go, you know, to step off the road, and I don't know what's gonna happen. So I was really worried. You know, I couldn't see a thing because this fog all of a sudden came. I was thinking, whoa! I think we should stop. I don't know what I'm gonna do. I know what I'll do. I'll just try to get my head out, you know, the window, and see if maybe I can get, but I don't know if this is going to help because it's all foggy. So when I opened up the window, and I took my head out, there was no fog. I said, wow, the fog disappeared. And then I came back to the wheel, and, well, it's foggy still. No, there's no fog. So we knew. There was no fog actually outside. It was my windshield that was foggy. So the thing to do was just clean it. Problem solved. And you know what? I think we have a foggy vision. We do forget who God is. And we have that foggy vision. And that's our sinful hearts. We forget who God is and what he has done. We forget Psalm 50, verse 15, that we know well. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I shall rescue you, and you will honor me. That's what God wants us to do. He's delighted when we come to Him in prayer and we tell Him, God, I'm frustrated. This is what's happening. I have a foggy vision right now. I do not see who you are. Help me in my unbelief. Wow. And it says, consider me and answer me. Verse 3, O Lord my God, enlighten my eyes, for I will sleep the sleep of death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my adversaries will rejoice when I am shaken. So David is saying, Lord, it's your glory that's at stake here. I could die, Lord. If you do not rescue me, I will die. And I want to continue worshiping you here in the land of the living. Lord, it's your glory that's at stake here. I want to glorify you here, Lord. My enemies will say, I have overcome him. My adversaries will rejoice when I am shaken. And my adversaries are your adversaries, Lord. This is your glory at stake. Lord, your reputation is at stake here. So he knew that he had to approach God in prayer. Admit your frustration. Approach God in prayer. But you see the last two verses? It starts, these verses, they start with a what? How do they start? But. And this is the change. Once we understand we have a foggy vision and we approach God and we see Him as who He is, there's always a but. But God. But God. And now we can adore Him. It says, but I have trusted in your loving kindness. All true songs of worship, a commentator says, all true songs of worship are born in the wilderness of suffering. Wow. You know that we learn more from David's suffering than from David's triumphs? All songs of worship are born in the wilderness of suffering. So see what David is saying here. I have trusted. I have trusted. David was trusting in God. You know why we don't pray? We should pray more often. But you know why we don't pray? Because we don't trust God. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. We don't trust God as we should. We forget who God is. That's unbelief. We do not think God will respond. We do not think God will answer. Now David was exercising his faith in God. Why? Because he knew God and he knew he could trust God. Whoa. So he makes these claims. And it starts with this but. Let's check on other Psalms and see this but again. Psalm 31 verse 12. It says, I am forgotten. I am forgotten as a dead man, out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. Luke, verse 13, for I have heard the slander of many. Terror is on every side. Well, they took counsel together against me. They schemed to make away my life. But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say you are my God. Let's go to Psalm 71. It's the same. Remember this, but I go through all these trials, says the psalmist. Look at verse 10. For my enemies have spoken against me, and those who watch for my life have consulted together. And they're saying, see verse 11, they're saying, God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there is no one to deliver. Verse 14, but as for me, I will hope continually, and I will praise you yet more and more. Let's go to Psalm 86. Psalm 86. See verse 14. Oh God, arrogant men have risen up against me, and a band of violent men have sought my life, and they have not set you before them, but you, O Lord, are a God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness and truth. Whoa. These are affirmations of, guess what? Trust. Trust. And David says back in Psalm 13, I have trusted in your, guess what Hebrew word? Chesed. This is one of the most beautiful words. We actually cannot translate this word. Loving kindness. That's the best we can do. Loving kindness. Mercy. David says, I have trusted in your loving kindness, this covenantal love. This love that describes Yahweh. And you know what? He says, I have trusted. See, I have trusted in the past your loving kindness. Why? Because in the past, I've felt, I've experienced your loving kindness. In the past, I know what you've done to me. I know who you are. I just have to look back and know who you are. You know, there's this brother. He was telling us one time. He's a professor at the Masters. He was telling us about this time that he was with his student. And they were talking with him, together with his wife. And he was telling them about this a box they have. So every time the Lord would bless them, they would write it down in a pebble or something. And they would put it in a box. And let's say I got the Lord answer me as we were going through this trial. He answered us, and he would write it down the way the Lord answered it. And they put it in that box. We were going through this. You know, my car broke, and this brother just helped me out with this and that. Write it down. My children were sick. You know, and the Lord answered a prayer, they would write it down. And they put that in that box. So when they went through trials, guess what they did? They would go to the box. That was like a box of remembrance. And they would take those pebbles out. And they would start reading them. And say, oh, do you remember how the Lord answered this time when we were facing this? Do you remember how the Lord was faithful, granting us what we needed at that time? We are so forgetful that I think that's a good way to remember God's loving kindness. Let's not forget who God is. We have a record of His steadfast love. And David knows that record. He's trusting now in the Lord, and trusting is part of our daily lives, our Christian experience. In order to be saved, we have to trust in Christ's finished work at the cross for us. Trust, it's part of our daily life. And now, trusting is part of how we live. We live by faith. That's how we live. We live by faith. We need that mercy box. We need to go back to that mercy box. That's what David did. I have trusted in your loving kindness. I know who you are, Lord. I had a foggy vision, but I know who you are. And I have trusted in your loving kindness. I have trusted in your chesed. Wow. I know who you are. And I know that you are good. You're sovereign. And for us as believers in the New Testament, don't we have those same promises? Don't we have this same God? Jesus said in John 10, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. They follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will not perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." That's God's faithful, steadfast love to us. We forget that. We forget that we will always be better than we deserve, because we deserved hell. But in His steadfast love, He has given us heaven. He has given us Christ. So they can chop your arm. Chop both of your legs. And you'll always be better than you deserve. Because you deserved hell. But in His grace, He's given you the glories of Christ forevermore. We're always going to be better than we deserve. Let's go back to that memory box, that remembrance box, and rejoice in His steadfast love. I have trusted in your steadfast love. That is beautiful. But not only that. See, I have trusted in your loving kindness, in your chesed, and my heart. See what else he says. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. Wow. See, and this is beautiful. Because he has trusted in the past. So what's he going to do in the future? He will rejoice. He will rejoice in what? He will rejoice in His salvation. Wow. I have trusted past. I shall rejoice in the future. He's rejoicing in the fact that God will deliver him. God will deliver him. And you know what? David was expecting a physical deliverance. But just that term. Salvation. Doesn't it ring the bell? We're not expecting a physical deliverance. This word for salvation here is the same term that reminds us of the Savior. Yeshua. That's what David was expecting. And remember what Jesus means. The Lord saves. And we now can rejoice in Yeshua. We can rejoice in Jesus. That brings spiritual salvation in the new covenant through His blood. Jesus came to live a perfect life of obedience to the Father. He took the place of the sinner that repents to save him from his death and deliver him from the ultimate enemy, which is death. In Christ, we have salvation. And this is the reason why we can finish with David saying, I have trusted in your loving kindness in the past. I remember what Christ has done for me in my salvation. So I shall rejoice in that salvation. But see what David says now in verse 6. And I will sing today to the Lord. Ha! Past I have trusted. Future I will rejoice. Now I will sing. And I just love that song that we were singing. Oh, sing! Yes! Let's close this and sing! We should be singing! Even though we are going through trials. And it could be a long time. But compared to eternity, it's nothing. Nothing. Our hearts should be rejoicing in the fact that we have salvation in Jesus. Wow. But I told you we experience laments. That's part of our life. And we need to express that to God. Do you know who had the most painful cry of lament? Wasn't it Christ? When he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? But God was there. The Father was there. And He had to make that cry. So we can listen today the words of the Father saying, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The Son had to be forsaken. That, we don't know what that meant. But we know what that means for us today. And this is our Savior that is now telling us, are you willing to trust? Do you know me? Because if you know me, and you're willing to trust, then you'll end up shouting out what Paul shouted out in Romans 8. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for all of us, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is the one who died. Yes, rather, who was raised, who is now the right hand of God and intercedes for you. You know why we keep on being Christians, being believers? Do you know why we are still in the faith? Because there's someone interceding for you right now. Can you imagine sneaking into the God's throne and listening to our Savior pleading for us by name. So, who will separate us from the love of Christ? See, these are the trials. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, hallelujah! Nothing! Nothing! So you talk to yourself. You go to the mirror and talk to yourself. And you tell yourself, this will not separate me from your love, from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Nothing, nothing will separate you from His love. Not this, nor any other thing. Yes, we go through trials, tribulations, but let's wait on the Lord. We know who He is and what He has done. We know our sweet Savior. And we need to remind ourselves of this steadfast love shown in the cross for undeserving, unworthy, wretched sinners that deserved eternal damnation, but will now, because of Christ, experience eternal joy. Nothing. Not this thing that we're going through right now. Not whatever's going to come in our way will separate us from His love. Father, we thank You for this reminder. I need it. My heart needed it, Lord. What a lament we saw at the cross. The greatest lament ever. And because of that lament now, there can be a song in our lips. A song of deliverance. Because You've dealt bountifully with us. You've been good to us, Lord. Please forgive us for our unbelief. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us because our hearts want to be sovereign. But there's only one sovereign. And that's You. Lord, that we may not forget that You're not only sovereign, but You're good and wise. So nothing will separate us from that love. Lord, bring peace to our hearts as we see You as who You are and what You have done. We rejoice in our Savior. David was looking at a physical deliverance, but we have that spiritual deliverance in Jesus. We can trust You. Lord, many of those who are here could be going through trials or have just finished coming out of the trial or will face the trials in the next days. May this psalm just point us to Christ, the ultimate deliverer. our Savior, the one that loves us, the one that gave his life for us. And as we have been learning, the Christian life is about trust. So those that are here and have not put their trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior, as the one that paid the penalty for sin, the one that lived the perfect life of obedience that we did not live, that died and 3 days rose again,